Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, April 1st, 2022. And I was thinking, as I was just reading this, with it being April Fool's Day, this is kind of almost like the opposite of what would go on April Fool's Day, where you try to trick somebody or do a surprise. This is talking about thinking about things that are noble, that are lovely, that are pure, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And how unique that that's a verse that you had suggested, not even thinking about it being April Fool's Day. So, yeah, that's a good one. So we'll talk about that.
If you knew me well, you would know that that's not a well-thought-out plan.
Well, I'm going to start off right away with the prize gift giveaways because, you know, once I get you started up and fired up about preaching and teaching God's Word, I want to devote our time to that and our thinking towards that. So those that attended our open house or visited this week, we still have these prize drawing slips that people can fill out from 10 to 5. So if you come by the Great News Media Center from 10 to 5 today or tomorrow, we're going to be here all day tomorrow, 10 to 5, you can fill out one of these prize drawing, I don't know what they call it.
Slips. That's
and
a slip.
You can win a prize, and they're usually $25 gift cards. And so I have three in front of me. I have a little bucket here.
Shake the bucket.
Just pull out three. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, got one right here.
Okay.
And this is going to be Pam Golden of Rantoul.
Pam, congratulations. She was one of the original listeners, I think, from April 7th of 1996. I saw her when she came into our event.
Listen, wait a second. I just pulled that out of the bucket, and you knew the date.
Oh, yeah, April 7th of 1996.
You're like Rain Man. You knew the date. You were like April 7th, 1970.
Well, that was the day we went on the air, and she was tuned in that day. She was saying the other day, I've listened to you from the very first broadcast, so appreciate that. So you'll get a $25 restaurant gift card.
Let me pick another one.
Let me get the sound effects. So this is right next to the microphone.
All right. Christine Johnson of Champaign.
Congratulations.
You knew Christine from how?
Christine is maybe a new friend of the radio ministry. I don't know if I know her, but she gets a Wendy's gift card, $25 gift card to Wendy's.
Okay, and the final one is Jan Causey from Philo.
She's a longtime listener, so congratulations.
Here she lived by Peggy Meyer.
Oh, yeah, the center of the universe.
The center of the universe, Philo. All good things come from Philo.
Yeah.
So Jesus went to the cross, but through Philo.
Yeah, so geez. And we'll do this, let's see, Saturday, I don't know, maybe on Monday's program I'll announce the Saturday winners. And see that whole table of ministry resources, books, everyone from Erwin Lutzer to David Jeremiah to Tony Evans to Alistair Begg. If anyone comes in and likes one of those books and makes a donation of any size, they can take it with them. So I'm thinking maybe next week I'll give some of those away over the air just to help continue the celebration for our grand opening open house. So we're located right between Lens Crafters. I can see them walking in right there. And Old Navy. And we have a private outdoor entrance. So a number of people had said, I'm in the mall and I can't find you. And I said, well, you got to be on the outside of the mall. We have our own private entrance. And that's a real benefit because otherwise we have to follow the mall covenant, if you will, having two staff members 9 to 9, 7 days a week. So people would miss church on Sunday. And I'd have to schedule somebody to assist all the time and some of the other rules that would need to be followed and kept. We don't have to do that. And for example, on Wednesdays, when Mary Ann's off, we can close down, as I many times go to Springfield, and there's other things that we don't have to follow. Because we have our own private entrance, we can do a lot of things, including having the singing men sing out front. I can't wait to do that. We have a garden area in front of us. You can look at it as a number of seating, mm-hmm. and then we can put out our own seating, and that'll be really fun and festive. And then we can sing in front of Dick's Court, Dick's Sporting Goods. We did that at our grand opening, and then in the food court. So we're going to utilize these facilities and launch into our English conversation classes in the coming weeks and probably get the children's choir going again. So we're excited to see how God's going to use this facility, and we'd love to have you come out and visit. So anytime today and tomorrow, 10 to 5 p.m., and then after that, it's catch me when you can.
Catch me when you can.
So I opened with these great words out of Philippians, a very encouraging letter by Paul to so many. People have memorized various verses, but this is one that people talk about, think about, put on their heart and mind because it has some great thoughts. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Kind of an exhortation of these are the things we should have on our minds and hearts.
Yeah, this verse I was thinking about because I heard a quote. I read a quote, actually. I was reading a book by C.S. Lewis, and in it he has this quote. And the quote is, we oftentimes want to talk about the problem of evil. We want to explain the problem of evil. Why does evil exist in the world? But he says we're less inclined, but we ought to be more interested in the problem of good. Why is the world good? Why are there good things that happen in the world? Why are there good people? Why are there moments where things happen that don't seem, they seem contrary to the way the world should work? You know, where something evil and deceitful and horrible and wicked is happening, and then somebody rises up and does something which is good and is lovely and is true and is honorable. Why does that happen? And so C.S. Lewis says, well, you know, I mean, the problem of evil, I mean, the Bible explains to us the problem of evil, that there was a fall and that the world is a broken place and that, you know, we will not experience the full goodness of what this place could be until God puts all those things back together. We know that in the book of Revelation. But
that's God calling now. He's going to.
The Lord is calling.
Yeah.
Jesus calling.
Yeah.
But the greater question is, why is there good then in the midst of all of this? And so as I was thinking about that, you know, because when I read something like that, boy, if you know me, my brain just goes into overdrive. I just sit and I just think about that and I wonder, well, why is that like that? And why are we so often inclined to just meditate upon what is bad? I mean, how many times, you don't even have to run far to find people who are commentating on all the ills and the bads and the wickedness of in the world. But we don't hear people oftentimes meditating upon sharing and talking about what is good. When you turn on the news, what's the percentage going to be bad to good? It's going to mostly be bad because bad news sells. But listen, we come bearing the good news. And so we're supposed to meditate upon that which is good. So for us, we need to wonder, like, why is there good in the world? Mm. Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything, any moral excellence, my translation says, anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Now, Paul, actually, we have to go, because context is king, we have to go a little earlier in verse 4, and it says, rejoice in the Lord always, I will say it again, rejoice. Now, some people say, now, why is Paul saying the word rejoice twice? Well, I think, and there's a lot of theological reasons that people want to draw from that, interpretive things that they think. I want to be real simple. I think it's this. I think that Paul, living in the world, is like all of us who are inclined towards the bad things. And so when Paul says rejoice, he's got to come behind it with another rejoice, because sometimes it's hard to grab a hold of that joy. Sometimes it's hard to take hold of that joy and actually have it shape your life, actually have it change your life, actually be able to meditate upon what is good. And Paul, I think, is saying in verse 4 of chapter 4 of Philippians that I've got to fight for joy. I've got to rejoice in the Lord always. Man, I've got to rejoice. Because it's a battle to rejoice in the Lord. It's a battle to hold on to the good things that the Lord is doing. And then he says in verse 7 that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, listen, that when you pursue joy, when you pursue what it is that the Lord pursues, then you'll find a peace that is inexplainable. That in the midst of all that's evil, you'll become a type of voice for good, goodness in the world. And then he also says that these things that you meditate upon, this joy that you're pursuing, it will actually guard your heart and your mind. Now, that's interesting. It says heart and mind because in the Greek world to which Paul is writing to, that's the totality of the person. That's the totality of all that they are, all that they think and all that they feel is in their hearts and their minds. So when Paul says hearts and minds, he's saying the whole of the person. This will guard the whole of the person, your knowledge, and how your knowledge wants to have you run away from sometimes what is ultimately truth, and your heart, which wants to blow like the wind at times. And then Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything of moral excellence, if there's anything that's praiseworthy, think about these things. Dwell upon these things. You know, and it made me think about that, you know, we need to begin to look for these things. We need to be the kind of people who are, I wrote it down in my little notebook here when I was thinking about this. We need more atheists in the world. Now, right away, I know the listeners probably just jumped out of their seat and said, you know, let's start that petition to get Pastor Jason off the radio, because he just said we need more atheists in the world. I think what we need is more cultural atheists. You know, what's really fascinating is this. If you read Roman history, you know what the first Christians were called? They were called atheists. You know why? Because they didn't believe that Zeus was the god. They didn't believe in all the Roman pantheon of gods. They actually didn't believe that those gods existed. They believed that they were not true and they were not right, that there was only one true God. So the Romans called them atheists. I think as Christians, we need more atheists who don't believe in all the other little G gods and only believe in the one God. And that one God is the one God of good things. You know, that's what happens in Luke, isn't it? Luke chapter 18, and the rich young ruler, it says in verse 18, a ruler came and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus doesn't answer the question. He says, why do you call me good? No one is good except for God. So Jesus says, listen, you want to find the good in the world, then you have to start looking for God. But the problem that we have, the problem that even Christians have, well-meaning Christians, is that we're looking for God in the midst of all the other gods in the world. It reminds me of Paul when he was in that sea of idols in Athens, and he had to look for the one thing, that one good thing that nobody else was talking about. And he said, let me explain to you what this unknown God is. This unknown God is the God of good things. He's the God of goodness. And he's the one that we need to meditate upon. And so here Paul says that we need to meditate upon these things. Now, why do we need to do that? Well, Romans 12:2 tells us that our mind will be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the meditating upon these things, that our thoughts will be transformed, that we'll be able to take those thoughts captive that are evil, that are unjust, that like to want to look for those kinds of things. And instead, those thoughts will now be transformed into thoughts that are looking for what is good, what is looking for God. I mean, how many of us wake up and say, today I want to look for the good. I want to meditate upon the good. I want to pray that God would not allow me to be swept up in all that is bad, evil, wicked, and horrible in the world. Now listen, there is bad, there is evil, there is wicked, and there is horrible, and it is everywhere. And we need to be cognizant of that, and we need to address it, and we need to push back on it where we can to use our platform and influence to affect that. But we don't need to engage it in such a way that it causes us to lose sight of the good. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer warned in his book on discipleship that the worst thing that evil will do to us is make us become a type of evil ourselves. And he said even the most good of people can become prone to this kind of thing happening. So we need to be very careful, because it's very easy to be swept up and have our reaction to evil become a type of evil in itself.
Yeah, I think of some of the Christian protesters that get out there and they're filled with anger and hate and condemnation for anyone around them. Another thing I wrote down too about filling our hearts and minds, it's like when we did the scripture memory and helping it influence us and think about godly things and spiritual things. And then I also wrote down, you become what you eat. You know, we say that a lot, but we also become what we think a lot about. And if we're so saturated by news stories of evil and the harm and the heartache and the wars, that will influence us.
Well, and just imagine, and that is what right now the world is, right? The world is a consistent news cycle of this thing to that thing. Today it's political, and then it's a war over here, and then it's a travesty over here, and then it's an Oscar getting, somebody getting slapped at the Oscars. And I mean, it's one thing into another thing. And it's so easy to get swept up in that, that you do not spend any time meditating upon what is true. Mm-hmm. And what is true is not what's true in the world. It's what's true in terms of who God is. Mm-hmm. It's not whatever is honorable in terms of the world, but what is honorable in the sight of God and what God calls us to be, whatever's just. It's not justice as in we pursue earthly justice, but that's just as in what does God say justice is? What does God say being just is? And whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is commendable, moral excellence, all these things are meant to point us back to God, to have us meditate upon God, to spend our time being saturated in who God is. It's interesting because I meet atheists sometimes who know more about the Bible than some well-meaning Christians. And it's because they've actually read it, they've actually studied it, they've actually thought about it. And we need to be those who are experts in the way of Jesus and who God is. We need to be able to say to the world that we know without a doubt who God is. Mm. Because we have meditated upon him, and not only have we meditated upon who he is, but we can point you to examples of the way he's at work in the world. Mm. I mean, imagine what our evangelism would look like if it was less about you need to turn and burn and come to Jesus or else you're going to go to hell, and instead saying, hey, let me point out to you where God was just at work. Mm. Let me point out to you how you can begin to see God at work in the world. Because more often than not, that's been places where I've seen true life change, where people have accepted Jesus who were obstinate to him in the past. It is when suddenly they began to see how God was at work, and they began to confound them. Because, listen, we can all explain evil, but try to explain the good. Mm. Try to explain why that person just flew all the way across the world to serve a people group who are oppressed and who are poor and who are impoverished. Why did that happen? Why did somebody leave the comfort of their home to go and do that? Mm. Listen, they didn't do it because they woke up and all of a sudden had a fit of altruism. They did it because they felt as though God called them to do it. Mm. And that is that unexplainable moment that confounds the unbeliever. Well, the unbeliever has to scratch their head and say, okay, well, there is something at work there that doesn't make any sense. Mm. And yet, as we begin to read the Bible, what happens? All of a sudden, all those things that don't make sense. In fact, I had an atheist friend who said this to me. He said, all the things that don't make sense to me in the world make sense to me when I read the Bible. Hmm. Because all the things that don't make sense to me in the world, all of a sudden I see why they are the way they are and why the people who come against those things and who do good are the way that they are. It's because they're doing what the Bible says. Hmm. And so I think that we need to meditate to look for. To be the people who are experts in where God is at work. And by the way, what would it do just for our own joy? Because I don't know about you, but if I watch more than 10 minutes of the news, I can't do like rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. I have to do like rejoice, 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 rejoice. Because like it's so overwhelming and it's just so frustrating and all the things that are happening. You're just like, ah, you find yourself yelling at the TV set. What if we spent more time, what would it do for us personally to spend more time looking for who God is, studying who God is, understanding who God is, marinating and meditating upon who God is? What would it do for our own hearts? Yeah. What would it do for our own ability to love others, you know, our wives and our kids and those in our spheres of influence? What would it do for that? And so I think that not only does it benefit the world, not only does it benefit our witness, but I think that just personally it benefits ourselves and our own hearts, because we were not made for the kind of constant news cycle that's happening right now, the inflow of negative information. We were not made for that. In fact, I think that in this cultural moment, I would just say this, that Philippians 4:8 really needs to be something that we do more and more and more and more and more. Because as fast as that is moving aside of us and around us, this needs to be happening within us.
As I looked at these two, I wrote down characteristics or character traits of Jesus. If you were going to try to describe what Jesus is like, he's true, he's noble, he's righteous, he's pure, he's lovely. And, you know, when we look at Jesus, we see some of these very traits.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think that it becomes so much easier. You know, it's so funny because I run across people a lot, Christians, who are like, boy, I just really struggle with sharing my faith. And really, it doesn't help that kind of our examples of sharing faith are like Billy Graham and people who are just extremely gifted at being able to do that. And so we come and we kind of trip over our words and we're not really that good as salesmen, although I really don't think we're supposed to be salesmen. But it just becomes very hard to do that for so many people. when I think that the Bible actually points us to a much easier, more organic, and more natural way of doing that, which is simply living a life which cannot be defined by the world's standards, living a life which seeks after the joy of God, which meditates upon these kinds of things, who Jesus is, and then points out to an unbelieving world how God is at work in the world. You know, all these moments where we go, praise God, praise God, you know, praise God for this. You know, a lot of times at our kitchen table, we'll say, you know, we'll have, like, kids will have some friend over for dinner. You know, and we'll say, hey, you know, before we start dinner, before we pray for our dinner, hey, real quick, like, was there anywhere you saw God at work today? You know, one of the kids will say, you know, well, today this happened with an art project I was doing at school, you know. And what happens is it's a very practical, connectable way that they're sharing that God, they saw God at work in their life during that day, and their friend becomes a part of that. And maybe their friend was actually sitting at the table with them when that happened, and they go, wow, I thought all that happened was they got that piece of paper and those scissors, and boy, boy, that was God at work. You know, and so now we begin to connect God to life. We begin to connect God to our life, and through our lives, the people in our lives get connected to God.
Let me give you a quick case in point. I don't know if this will embarrass you, but I know there was that post.
I'm not easily embarrassed.
Yeah, of you and your kids in the car where Sharon was taking place, and it got posted up at Moody in a classroom, the Moody Bible Institute.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that happen?
So a good friend of ours went up to do a class up at Moody. They were asked to come up and do a class on disciple making up at Moody, our friend Bill Allison. And so when he went up there, he decided to show the video. Well, it's so funny because somebody who I know in Muhammad, their son goes up there to Moody. Well, that video became, I guess, the talk because he knew me, and so he knew of us. And so he goes, wow, you know, that's the car pickup line at school, at our local school. So he's sharing with other people. So it's just so funny.
Yeah.
Because all I did was, I think a year or two ago, during COVID, I think it was, just shared with Bill how my kids and I pray when I drop them off for school. We just made a real short 2-minute video. And Bill took that up to Moody Bible Institute and shared it up there. And one of the students up there asked if they could use it to share about how they were going to do something. And so it's just so amazing when you live your life for God, when you live your life connected to God, pursuing God, how God will use that to multiply His name into the world.
Yeah, it was just a great one. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. May that be true of all of us today, throughout this weekend, when you're in church on Sunday. May it be a pattern for our future living, following the Lord Jesus Christ, being intentional with our study of God's Word and talking about it, thinking about it, praying through it, and memorizing it. May we all gain and glean truths from God's Word. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.